Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, I'm Trish Halpin.
And I'm Lorraine Candy.
Welcome to Postcards from Midlife, the show where we help you through the midlife, the menopause, motherhood, and everything in between. In this episode of Postcards from Midlife, we're going to be talking about our bodies and how they're behaving now that we're at this life stage. We're also going to be sharing some of our recent personal adventures, the stuff we're winning at right now, and things that are giving our hearts and minds a little flutter.
We're also going to be looking at teenagers and anxiety, how to spot the signs and how to help and support your adolescent through them.
Today, we have a very special guest in the studio to help us discuss this and
she
more.
Is indeed very entertaining. So Meg Matthews, who runs megsmenopause.com, her mum had osteoporosis. So very much part of Meg's treatment for the menopause, which she tried a lot of things, has been to make herself stronger, has been to address her bones and the structure and her general fitness. So we will be talking to Meg about what she's done, how she does it, and actually, I think more importantly, how she started. Because when you go through the menopause, you feel pretty down and you don't have any energy. Some people get extreme fatigue and it's very difficult just to put your trainers on and do anything. And if you don't live in a city, if you don't live where you can't get to something very quickly, you have to motivate yourself. And Meg is very good on that. And we will be asking her all about that. But first of all, Trish, let's talk about your body. How are you feeling about
my
your body?
My body. Do you know, I'm actually feeling quite good about my body. And my measure of that is, do I get up without any aches and pains and can get out of bed?
Are you making that sound when you get off the sofa?
The effort noise. Yeah. Yes. So there's no effort noises going on at the moment, which is quite good. So I think nowadays, I can't care less what I look like on a beach. I couldn't care less what I look in a swimsuit. As long as I feel sort of fit and strong and can bend down, flexible, get my leg up round my neck, that kind of thing, that I'm quite happy with that. And what about you?
I mean, we're very different, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yes. So I do care about what I look like on a beach. That's what I bought. I bought some pop-up push-up, what do you call them, bras this week.
Wow.
That's where I'm going, Trish.
Wow. James is going to be happy with that.
Well, I'll have breasts for the first time in 20 years of marriage. I think it's important to feel really feminine and sexy. I mean, I do want to be strong and healthy as well. But everything changes at this stage of your life. There is the menopause means you put on weight. You've really got to look after your bones. So you have to change your gym routine. And you've got to get outside for your fresh mental health, I think, to keep it alive and well. Now, the thing I do, which I'm going to make you do with me, is I swim in very cold water. Now, I swim anyway because I love swimming. It's my way of meditating because I can't meditate because that is impossible. But I love swimming in cold water because for about 48 hours, there's a lot of science behind this, so it's not just me imagining it, but for 48 hours afterwards, you feel amazing. You feel like someone's injected you with a new lease for life. You're kind of really, really upbeat and positive. And I actually get quite odd and sad if I don't do it.
And I mean, I'm a swimmer as well, but I've not done the cold water thing. I've kind of dipped into very cold water in sort of Nordic fjords, that kind of thing, and got out incredibly quickly. I mean, how on earth do you submerge and stay in and not feel like your head's about to
It's a really lovely community, so you've got to go with friends. Otherwise, you will just put your foot in and say, why am I doing this? It's absolutely freezing. And also, you've got to walk to the pool we've walked to the pool in rain. We've tiptoed through snow. We've avoided icy patches to get in. You don't stay in for very long. I've been down to 0 or 1 degrees at the Lido near us. It's an outdoor Lido,
and
unheated.
Are you wearing just like your normal swimming?
Or my normal swimsuit.
Sometimes, sort of bodysuit
if I want to do swimming, I'll actually wear some gloves. And but it's really sexy. Outdoor swimming is really
swimsuit
sexy.
No,
there's just nothing attractive about it. But it is the best community of people going through a similar thing, particularly women. And there's a lot of science around it. You do really have to check it out. You can't just get in and out. If you're really hardcore about it, there's a method called the Wim Hof method. Wim Hof is an ice swimmer. He can overpower his system.
Ooh, with mind over matter.
Yes,
mind,
to stay mind, in yeah. ridiculously low temperatures for a long time, and it's boosted his immune system. So there's a lot of good science around it, but I would just say from a personal point of view, I feel great.
For me, because I really come at it from strength, flexibility, toning, how do I kind of make all of that happen in a week? Swimming, I think, is for the fitness side of things. So yoga, different types of yoga. I love a bit of yin yoga, which is the kind of more relaxing one where you kind of get into a position and it's gently stretching you
for about five minutes.
It's not forward rolls. But it might be, as it was last Friday, lying down with one leg in the air with a belt wrapped around your foot and then round your head. So your head is essentially pulling your leg back and you lie there for 5 minutes and you think, what on earth? What's happening to my groin?
I think yoga is the long-term goal, isn't it?
It's
because
brilliant.
It does change the shape
of
your body.
Yeah, but you need to know how to do it properly. You need to be taught well. In the beginning, I went to proper, you know, where they come round and move
you
yourself.
Yeah, you shouldn't get injured.
So I'd say if you're coming at it for the first time, you do
need...
Do
they touch your sacred triangle, Trish?
Oh, no, just tell me about the sacred triangle.
I have a friend who's learning to be a yoga teacher, and they call it in yoga teaching your sacred triangle, which is that bit between your hips and
is it sacrum, pelvis?
Something like that, yes.
Yes.
I like to refer to it as my sacred triangle.
I'm going to try that out. That sounds good. We have a very special guest in the studio today, the activist and entrepreneur Meg Matthews, who is a leading voice in the campaign to get more focus, visibility and support for women going through the menopause, and whose website, Meg's Menopause, is just the most fantastic resource for women. So welcome, Meg. Now, the emotional and physical changes that women go through at this life stage are vast. I mean, you've listed, I think, a whopping 34 symptoms that we might experience. Do you mind talking to us about you and what's been happening to your body in the last few years?
Okay, so I'm lucky to say, ladies, that I am now coming up to nearly 54, so I'm nearly 6-7 years into it. So the menopause to me was, all I could relate to was you didn't have periods and you had a hot flush. The truth is, I didn't even know what the word perimenopause meant or what the menopause was.
I don't think many women do.
And they don't, yeah. Absolutely. Those two symptoms, I never had a hot flush and I had the marina coil. So my symptoms were overwhelmness with life, fearful of life, foggy brain, night sweats and fatigue and couldn't sleep.
But you had like chronic fatigue.
Yeah.
And you went to bed for 3 months.
Yeah, three months. And also I had the anxiety was so through the roof that I went to a really dark place. I might not even be here today. It was that dark for me. I kept going back to the GP and back to the GP. And when you go and you burst into tears and you can't cope with life.
They give you antidepressants.
That's it. So antidepressant after antidepressants was what I was given. So I had like 3 years on antidepressants, which I now do not take. And I now am supported by CBD oil. But I was really at wit's end. And I just was like, you know, what am I going to do? I'm a recovering alcoholic. So I have to say, I was lucky enough to be able to be in an AA meeting and to share that I was bloody going mad, okay? And I really couldn't cope with life anymore. Now, my life was, in every other area, was fine. So as I walked out the meeting, this lady took me to one side and went, look, take my number. You're going through the menopause. And I was like, no, I'm not. And she said, Meg, you really are. As the penny sort of dropped, you know, when you just sort of know something was like, yeah.
One of the symptoms that women don't think about is this exhaustion, this kind of slightly, it's not sort of medical, you don't feel like you're ill or you've got something wrong, but you do feel a bit like I had glandular fever when I was a teenager, and I would say the menopause makes me feel
pretty
similar.
I had glandular fever when I gave birth to an AS.
Yeah, I just feel chronically exhausted.
Yeah.
And when did you start coming out of that part of
So I think I sort of had to push myself a little bit because I have got a feeling that you can actually stay like that, because what I would do is I would think, oh, I'm going to go out. Should I go out? And then I open my wardrobe and it's that bit of like, oh, I can't even think of what to put on. You know, that sort
of thing.
You
can't keep it all in your brain anymore.
It's like, you know, and then you just end up wearing the same clothes. And I just noticed that, you know, I wasn't really making as much effort. you've got to make, it's the same way as we lose this libido. It's the same way, you know, you have to make yourself do it. So you have to masturbate more. You have to put the effort in. Because I noticed that it was 1 week, then it was 2 weeks.
Have you been masturbating
more? Then it was 3 weeks, have you? We do know that you can bring it back, you see. Now, I was like 2-3 weeks because I split up with my partner when I went through the menopause because I just didn't want, you know.
Too much.
The thought of like having to shave my legs and do everything have, you know, to get all ready for it, even prepare for it is exhausting. So I just, you know, even, you know, when you think you've got to do all your bits and get all ready, I was just thinking, oh, God, just give me my pyjamas and a box set, you know. So you get a bit lazy. But, I mean, the only way that I've seen out of it when I get asked this question is that you have to do it yourself. Yeah. You have to make the effort to go out for lunch with your girlfriends. You have to make the effort to put your makeup on, go get your hair blow dried or blow dry yourself down.
Did you lose your sleep? Because that insomnia, I think, is very big.
I had insomnia. Basically, I would fall asleep. I would wake up about 2 or 3 in the morning and I would
Oh, that's me.
And then it doesn't stop, and it's like that washing machine, you know, and it just doesn't. And then you start worrying. I've got to go to work. I've got to do this. I'm going to be exhausted
makes you more
in the morning.
Anxious. It makes you
And then you look, and then you look in the mirror, and then I'm really vain. And when I'm awake, the first thing is I'm going to look like shit in the morning.
Quite honest,
I think Meg is very self-aware, but I love your self-awareness. I think that's really good
because I just think I am going to.
I think that's what we all have to become more self-aware and more in tune with what drives us.
I think women of our generation feel a bit guilty about that, though. I think we feel a bit like we shouldn't be thinking about ourselves. So one of the things that we want to talk about today is the kind of physical exercise body element of it. So you were diagnosed with osteoporosis.
Yes, I was, yes.
And your mum died.
Yeah, my mum passed away.
From osteoporosis, didn't she? So you knew, and that is linked to the menopause and also growing old, and you've got to look at, because in the last year you spent a year, haven't you, working on your body and your strength, and you don't
have
it anymore.
So so HRT, you know, 1 out of 3 women will have osteoporosis. HRT is a prevention. 1 or 2 women will have a stroke or a heart attack. We're overtaking men in the UK today with heart attacks. And the estrogen supports our heart. And also 1 in 3 women, we have a pelvic floor. Yeah. So, and our bones, as it supports our bones. So I had a DEXA scan.
What's a DEXA scan?
A DEXA scan is like you lie down. It's not like having an MRI. So you're not in that little box, and it's not like an X-ray. They scan your hip and
did your GP
spine.
Refer you to that?
Yeah, you can be referred by your GP. Yeah, absolutely. But it's not an expensive thing, a DEXA scan. I think they're about £65, £70. It takes about 18 minutes. You keep your clothes on.
And with the osteoporosis then, because obviously one of the things I do know is that you have to strengthen your bones, you have to do weight-bearing exercise.
Weight-bearing,
So what did you do physically?
Basically, what made me laugh is that you have all these soul cycles and these, you know, Barry's boot camp. I mean, they're all good, I'm not saying that. But actually, it's just going back to good old-fashioned Arnie weightlifting. So just basically doing your
squats. The Terminator weightlifting.
Yeah, just that one that you've been doing since the 80s.
Squats. Jane Fonda.
Lunges. When it was like, you know, the heroin chic through the 90s, I was always the one with the muscly thighs who could never wear the skinny jeans and the belly pump and would just sit there with envy. Then all of a sudden, my body shape came in fashion. I was like, oh my God, at 50 it came back.
So the other thing that we are talking about today is teenagers and anxiety. So you go through this, you hit the menopause, you go a bit mental, at exactly the same time your teenagers, boys or girls, are becoming adults, and you're letting them go. So you're grieving for many bits of your life.
Yes. And this
podcast focuses on bringing up teenagers. I've got 4 children, 3 teenagers, 2 girls and a boy. You have 2 teenagers.
I've got twins, so a boy-girl twins. So it's quite interesting seeing the age thing in the teenage
world. And there's a lot
world.
Of talk all the time at the moment about teenagers and their risk or their vulnerability around becoming anxious. So your daughter's 19 now, so you're a bit further ahead. So
yeah, I am.
How did you... What's your... Help me, basically.
Okay, right.
Help me.
What happened with... Okay.
I mean, yesterday one of them went mental for now. I couldn't work it out because there was no cheese in the house. It was all the wrong cheese. And we all went to bed in tears. It was very sad.
I mean, we call it the sandwich effect. because we are in the middle of this. So we've got hormonal teenagers, and then also, don't forget, our parents are getting older. Yeah. So my mum passed away, so I have my dad. So I felt like I was like just sandwiched between the two of these emotions. And at some points I really like, poor me, I can't cope. What about me? What about me sort of thing. But I have to honestly say that my daughter is a one in a million. She really was really good. But the reasoning around that is because I sat everybody down in a circle in my house and told them I am going through the menopause and they were all going to have to help me, and talking and sharing about it.
Yeah.
I mean, the eyes rolled. And I printed out all the papers from the GP had given me, and I laid them down. They said, if you want to read them, you can. If you want to know about it, you can. So I had my partner, my daughter, and my business partners in a circle. And I said, right, I'm going through the menopause. I'm going to cry. I might be angry.
I just explained it all.
And I said, sometimes I will not be cooking tea. Sometimes I just feel like this. Because I had to explain this, because in Aeneas's eyes, when I stop exercising and I stop eating wrongly, it's usually when I'm like going to into a bad place.
Yeah.
And being a single mum and also being an addict, I mean, Aeneas did have therapy because she had to, which was really good, because living with, as you call it, an alcoholic or a mother in addiction. So I needed her to be able to go and offload and to understand, because the drug counsellor that I had also counselled her from 13.
But that's really sensible, because I'm like a bit all or nothing.
But I wanted her to be able to have that. So that was my way of sort of giving her support, but also me having support. Mm. So this person could explain.
She kind of got in ahead of it, because I think the thing about teens and anxiety, it's difficult to know is it actual real anxiety they're feeling, or is it just the physical, emotional, hormonal changes that they're going through, and how to be sad.
You
can't try and make them happy all the time.
I think for them to be aware that this is understanding their mental health from a young age, I think is really important, isn't it?
I think you have to
let them go through it, because I mean, I find that everything that she is feeling and going through, like maybe like being brokenhearted or when she has her exams, it brings up everything again for me. Like, you know, not getting on or falling out with someone at school. You know, I'm sitting there, I feel physically sick because I'm feeling it all as well. Mm. She's like, Mum, why this? I'm like, oh, I know, Aeneas.
So how do you support? What do you do? Is it just really talking?
We talk a lot. We talk a lot.
Does she want to talk to you?
Yeah.
Because I've got one that loves talking to me, and one that just, honestly, she just could. If I got run over by a car on the way to get her a Starbucks, she would literally step over my body and go, continue, get the Starbucks, then come back and call the ambulance.
I've only got the one, and we speak most days, and she will ask me most days advice.
But obviously your life being her parent is probably very different to how you were parented and your upbringing, but do you think kids have got different triggers for anxiety these days?
I am truly worried about anxiety in teenagers. Yeah. I really am. I mean, the amount that I hear that children have got anxiety, Aeneas will call me and say, well, Mum, I've woken up with anxiety. And I'm like, I don't think we called it anxiety back in Antioch. We called it worry.
Mm.
So, and my mum was always a worrier. And I think I always had underlying anxiety, especially because, you know, I always felt things when you're not really sort of in control. And then from the early 90s, I had no control over the tabloids. And so I used to sit there and just be like full of fear what was going to be written about me, because there was a time when they did have their field day with me, you know. So that underlying anxiety and worry. And then when Aeneas calls up and says, oh, God, Mum, I feel sick. I've got anxiety today. I don't know whether it is the social media, the Instagram, I don't know. I mean, you know, there's never a moment where, you know, when we were teenagers, when we were in our bedroom, what did we have? I mean, I remember my dad had a lock on the phone.
Yes.
You know, just that old-fashioned lock to stop me dialing my friends.
Yeah.
So, you know, you literally are in there, you know.
Well, we had very strict phone rules. I took it away at 9 o'clock. Not so much now with a 17-year-old, because she's kind of grown up. But 9 o'clock in the evening, I had to go. And I would say for a year, they were so cross with me.
Did you actually take the phones off them?
9 o'clock, I said, phone's here. We had a silver box. Yeah. Put them in the bowl. That's it. And you can't have them in your bed overnight.
Wow.
And honestly, they tried every trick in the book. Mm. They came up in the night to get them out.
Oh, yeah, of course.
They persuaded my husband that they could use iPads instead because you can't get social media on iPads. I was like, moron. You've been duped, you bloody idiot.
FaceTime,
I
friend.
Can do everything. Yeah. I know.
Yeah, I'd hear conversations.
Yeah, don't tell mum, it's all right, it's all safe. Yeah. So then I'd have to then take the eye. They were relentless about it. But honestly, just getting that sleep, I think, made such a difference for those.
Yeah, we just know that sleep is
But
really
I think
good.
They now talk about, because they teach it, they have a wellness lesson at school once a week as well. They teach the language of taking care of yourself.
My son was able to tell me that I thought he had anxiety, and he was actually able to say, "Mum, I don't have anxiety. I have a low mood. I'm just feeling down."
Wow.
I like that.
Wow. Where did that come from? That's amazing. Low mood.
And I think it was through school and through vocabulary that they can and be able to talk about it, which I think is really good.
I think, like you're saying, I think talk is everything. Within a family.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Well, it was fascinating talking to Meg about her 19-year-old daughter. So, Trish, you talked to me a bit about your daughter's friendship issues, because I think that makes children very stressed.
Yeah, I think that is one of the kind of red flags. And I do think there's a particular thing. It seems to be year eight and girls. Yes. Girls in year eight. Something happens, especially in girls' schools, and they...
So they would be 13 in year
eight.
Yeah,
so they're second year of secondary school. And my daughter had some really upsetting friendship issues at that point. And I just remember the point for me where I realised how bad it had got was the Christmas holidays, and she just didn't leave the house. She didn't want to. Or she probably didn't leave the sofa.
Poor
and it just
fella.
Breaks your heart. You really feel it. And she was so... it was so upsetting, and all the kind of, you know, came at it from, oh, you know, what about seeing Ella or seeing... And she just didn't want to do anything. And at that point, I knew, okay, this is really...
How did you help her?
Well, I think I allowed her, first and foremost, to have a super lazy Christmas. And if what she wanted to do was sit on the sofa and eat chocolate...
Absolutely.
You know, and I did a lot of it with her. And then it was a question of trying... when she was feeling kind of relaxed and comfortable with that and the thought of going back to school in the new year, it was, okay, what can we do? How can I help this situation? And we did actually then go in and speak to the school, and they were very helpful and supportive. And then it kind of resolved itself ultimately. A little bit of intervention from me with just getting a family friend daughter to take her out, that kind of thing, just very subtle intervention. Yeah. And actually it did resolve itself. So it wasn't, it was a kind of a period in her life, I think. But obviously other children are dealing with, you know, a lot more difficult issues around whether it's academic stress or peer pressure.
They're always going to deal with something. Yeah. They're always going to be, if you have more than one as well, they're always going to be dealing with something emotionally. So for me, I think one of the things that's changed about and was really unexpected with teenagers is my one of mine coming into bed with me at midnight.
Mm.
Yes, yeah, it's a kind of, I just didn't, that was her time, I think, because there's a lot of them in our house. There's a lot going on. If you have a conversation, it's very public, someone's listening, and you have to be quite loud because there's just a load of stuff happening all the time. And if you're... child is, well, there's a theory, isn't there? They can be orchids or dandelions. They're either really resilient dandelions, and they're kind of born that way and everything affects them around mm-hmm. it, or they are quite delicate orchids and they're born that way. And a delicate orchid doesn't necessarily fit into a family of dandelions mm. and you just vaguely identify your child. And she would come in and talk to me. I would be asleep, obviously, because I keep going to bed early because of the bloody menopause. So I would be asleep, but she would wake me up and we would lie there and chat oh. in the dark. And I think that was her, we found a way.
Yeah.
She doesn't do it now, but secretly that we did it together. And it was very helpful for her, I think. And I think you just have to sort of be there for them, don't you?
Yeah, totally.
And not interfere. With the friendship groups, one mustn't interfere.
No, you can't interfere. No, exactly. That backfires because it's sort of causes the problem in the first place. It's the girls kind of moving yes. between groups and all of that kind of thing.
I think... The other thing to be aware of is this element of resilience, because there's a lot written about snowflake generation and snowplow parents. If you keep moving everything out of their way so they never feel sad, they never have to deal with it, nothing bad ever happens, they can't deal with it when it does happen.
Yeah.
And I found that with the girls, that if I try and do everything for them, they are then very unsure of doing things themselves. If you just sort of steel yourself and think, oh, I'm not going to do that, I'm just going to let them deal with that, and it's going to be a bit sad, it's going to go a bit wrong and it'll be a bit awful, but next time it'll be easier, that's a better way to do it.
You're right, because anxiety is, of course, it's just a normal reaction to stress. It's something that our bodies
perfectly
has.
Normal. Perfectly it's like normal. A muscle as well.
So it's for them to understand how that... Yeah, exactly as you
exercise
say.
Exercise it and it's stronger.
Yeah, exactly. And just... But no... when it's getting out of control.
I think. A bit like one of my daughters is very funny. She's always got a phrase for something. She always says, if something really bad happens, they all get through it and then we deal with it. She always says, well, sucks to be you. As in, just deal with it.
Yeah, just deal with it.
I say, this is terrible. I'm going to have to do this and this at work today and it's really upsetting. This person's not being nice to me. She says, well, sucks to be you then. So, Trish, we always end Postcards from Midlife with what has happened this week to us. So tell me these three things.
Okay.
What has changed your life this week? What have you been trying? And where have you been nostalgia noodling?
Oh, you want all of those three things. Okay, so what I've been trying this week is some vegan recipes. Cooking.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God, food.
Love a trend.
I do. But noodles, particularly, there's a brilliant vegan cookery writer called Meera Soda who does these wonderful kind of Indian
recipes. Well, you
had
me at the word vegan.
Is that quite tasty? So that's me. And I just, actually, everybody loved it in the house for once, which was amazing. Things I've been trying. I'm really into cleansing balms at the moment. Have you tried one of those?
What do you cleanse with them?
I cleanse my face.
Are you talking about soap?
No, it's not. It's like a sort of oily... sort of lovely natural oils kind
you
of way to cleanse your
face.
Sort of
quite like a funny
hand
movements.
Hand
movements though. I don't like
it. It's actually, it's very tactile. It's very, it's this lovely soft balm that you kind of rub onto your face and then you massage, you do a little facial massage.
How have you got time for this?
Well,
teenager saying, where are my tights?
I'm doing the speeded up version, but there's loads of them out there. So if you haven't discovered them yet, they are coming all sort of price points. Some of the major beauty ones are lovely.
Good for you.
Minus nostalgia noodling has been, I've been listening to Demi Moore's autobiography,
oh my God,
Inside
that book
Out.
Is amazing.
Isn't it great? It's
she
really
is
good.
Amazing.
She says, my body, a lot, my body. But I'm only about halfway through, to be honest with you, but I've decided I'm going to download St. Elmo's Fire, Few Good Men. I'm just going
to
go back there.
That's back
Not
to the
80s. Sure if I can cope with ghosts, though, so we might leave it there.
Oh, I don't know. I think that's one of her best.
Do you think so? Maybe I will. Maybe I will. And what about you, Lorraine?
Wow. This week, I have been reading about the vagus nerve, which is the nerve, not what you think it is. I can see your little face light up there. This is the nerve that connects your brain to your gut. And it's really the thing that changes everything. So one of the things you need to do is you need to calm it down in the morning. So you need to get up 30 minutes earlier. I don't
mind. 6 instead of 6:30? Really?
Anyway, and you need to quietly settle your brain and drink 2 glasses of water. Think about calming your vagus nerve.
Mm-hmm.
I have been Well, my nostalgia noodling has been BritBox. Have you heard of this?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
All the TV shows from my childhood, all in one
Professionals.
Place. Howard's Way.
Oh, yes. Triangle?
Yes, Triangle. All of them on there. And also, my wonderful 17-year-old daughter did me an 80s Spotify playlist, which has changed my life. I jauntily walk to work with that on, going on in my ears.
And what are you singing?
Well, everything.
All of them.
All of them, yeah. I love it. I love anything from the 80s, but it's Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We've had good fun today.
We have.
Loved meeting Meg Matthews in the flesh. That was very entertaining, learning about everything she's going through, and I hope that's helpful to everyone. Thank you very much for listening to Postcards from Midlife.
Next time, we'll be talking to Louise Wenner about feeling desired in your sexuality when you're approaching or in your midlife.
If you'd like to send us a postcard, maybe you have a question, maybe you want to tell us your midlife story, you can find all the ways to contact us in the description below.
And if this is your first time listening to the podcast, please do subscribe. We can't wait to talk to you next week, but until then, bye-bye.
Goodbye.